Good morning, heart dwellers. The Lord's peace and joy be with you today. Today is November the 15th, 2015. Well, I just wanted to mention a thank you to the dear soul who sent me handmade soaps and some goodies to eat. I think it was two different people. Somehow, things got mixed up and I didn't get to figure out who sent what. But I wanted to take a moment to thank you for that. It's been a real blessing, and we shared with others as well. And those rosemary roasted nuts were out of this world. So thanks, guys. Well, I don't think it's any coincidence what he wanted to talk about today, because we have a situation with Ray, the lady who used to live in the front house that had to move out, where she needs heat, and she's in a real difficult situation. She fell and broke her shoulder in several places, and they put it back together again, but she's not healing very well, and she refuses to stay in a nursing home. She just won't do it. So she's back out on the mesa where we had taken her in her trailer, and we're trying to provide sufficient heat for her, so please, let's all keep her in our prayers, and we're going to do what we can to see to it that she does have sufficient heat. And as I came into prayer and waited upon the Lord, he told me that he wanted to talk about community. So I'm going to share with you what he had to say. All of you I have brought together for a purpose. Each of you have gifts and attributes the other is missing. Haven't you noticed that? No two are alike. How I delight in your differences, and how I delight when I see you making use of yourselves, melded into one, providing for the needs of others. Even as it is written, our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. As it is written, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. That's 2 Corinthians 8:13. The Lord continued here. This world is a very lonely place, and part of your testimony is belonging to me, is that you go about doing good where you can. By this, all men will know that you are mine. You were right when you said that I never give up on anyone, and you shouldn't either. My brides, all around you, I have placed those needs that you have the wherewithal to meet. But your society is so corrupted with private interests that you're insulated to the point where you don't notice, unless you're listening very carefully to my spirit, in which case you will inquire as to the needs of those around you. This is an exercise in both selflessness, obedience, and patience, taking the time from your own personal interests to ensure the needs of others is a trait of my disciple. How shallow your society is, and has deliberately been designed by the enemy to isolate. Yes, he is well practiced in manipulation to isolate the weak and lonely, that he may devour them and separate them from me, giving them no hope whatsoever. But when you respond to the needs of others out of love and compassion for your brother, as it is written, love your brother as you love yourself, you are doing more than acting in my stead. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And just as an aside here, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the difference between sheep and goats. When we raised sheep and Angora goats, we noticed something about them. The goats are very aggressive, and they'll butt the sheep right out of the food right out of the grain and the alfalfa if you let them. They're very aggressive. And the sheep are more meek and tend to hang back and be pushed around more easily. And here the scriptures continue. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did it for one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. That's Matthew 25. I am assigning you in this very moment the task of inquiring about the state of those around you, whether it be brother, sister, mother, father, neighbor, or classmate. I want you to go out of your way to be good to them. In this moment, you have very little concept of what you look like to heaven. In heaven, you will be stripped clean of all things done from the motive of self-interest. At that point, all that will be left to you is what you did out of brotherly love and selflessness. Can you take a moment and consider what I'm saying graphically? Everything you've done for yourself and your own desires beyond the realm of absolute necessity, the merits of everything will be removed from you. This is why the wedding guest was removed from the banquet. Simply stated, he lived for himself and had no covering. But Lord, isn't that works righteousness? Well, in a sense, you could say that. But remember, I'm not talking about salvation or justification, which is by faith alone. No, here I'm talking about rank and position. There are many, many layers and dimensions to heaven. There is a place called the outer darkness, which is reserved for those who were saved, but did very little for others in their lives. This is as it should be, Claire. Believe me, this is justice. The more you resemble me, the closer to the glory of the throne you will be. But Lord, in the outer darkness, you said there will be grinding and gnashing of teeth. Yes, indeed, there will. The recognition of the selfishness of your life will at first be very painful to witness. It is not something you can run and hide from. It will be evident to you and all. And many of those who live for themselves are blind to their nakedness, so it will be a shock to them. My love, when you make good deeds a habit pattern of your life, you go around convicting my blind body of their own nakedness. The more long-suffering and generous your charity, the more convicted they become. I know you have felt this way because I've taken the time to convict you on many occasions. This world is topsy-turvy, Claire. What is applauded by men is a disgrace in heaven, and what is looked upon as a waste of time and energy on the behalf of others in heaven is applauded. Men's consciences are just terribly deformed, and it is only through my grace that those who have been raised improperly ever come to an understanding of good and bad. You are my most exquisite of all creatures, my people. And the more you resemble me, the greater your reward in heaven. I have given you intelligence, reason, and free will. Note that the greater your vigilance over others, the greater my vigilance and reward, both now and in the age to come, over you. Press in, therefore, with these gifts, my beloved. There is a crown waiting for those who run to win until the end. I am coming soon. Make the best of the time left to you.